for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, June the 30th, 1991. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This afternoon service is the 50th wedding anniversary service of Glenn and Irma Miller. They were married June the 20th, 1941, Assembly of God Church, Springfield, Illinois. This afternoon, friends have gathered to celebrate with them the renewing of their wedding vows. Reverend Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the minister officiating this afternoon. Present, of course, Glenn and Irma Miller. Mother of Glenn Miller, Lena Miller. Their son, Merrill Miller, and grandson, Robert Miller. But not able to be present was wife, Laura, and daughter, Christina. Son, Michael, and his wife, Kathy, and great-granddaughter, Lindsay. Daughter, Glenora, and her son, Billy, were not able to be present. But present were her sons, Donald Dufresne, Dennis and wife, Tara Dufresne, Daniel and wife, Mary Dufresne, and great-grandchildren, Devin and Morgan Grace. Brother, Gilbert and wife, Luella Miller, sister, Verna May and husband, Harry Hodge. The soloist was Linda Sutter, organist, Robert Sorbel, pianist, Phil Hess. Flowers for the occasion were provided by brother and wife, Gilbert and Luella Miller.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're not at no funeral. We had a happy time of occasion. And as we began our praise and worship, isn't the Lord good? And His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. Wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah.
By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the prophet spoke. This is the hour of flattery. God is moving in time, and the anointing shall break the yoke. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the prophet spoke. This is the day of flattery. God is moving in power again, and the anointing shall break the yoke. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the promise told. This is the hour of flattery. God is moving in power again, and the anointing shall break the yoke. By the anointing, Jesus breaks the yoke. By the Holy Ghost and power, just as the prophet spoke. This is the hour of flattery. God is moving in power, yes. The anointing, God breaks the yoke. The cloud of glory is moving. Moving the cloud. The cloud of glory, moving, moving the cloud, moving the cloud. Let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us move on together as we follow every lead. New life we will receive, moving the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. The cloud of glory is moving. The cloud of glory is moving. The cloud.
like we never meet. Blue is the cloud, the cloud of glory.
Come on, move with the cloud.
Blue is the cloud, the cloud of glory is burning. Blue is the cloud, let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. I'm gonna serve all again as we follow where we lead. New life we will receive. Move in the cloud, let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let's move all again as we follow where we lead. New life we will receive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
is moving us on. He is leading the way. Hallelujah. A way we have never been before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross. But before us there is an open door. Out of Zion shall come a deliverance, a deliverance, a deliverance. Out of Zion shall come a deliverance. Oh, my people, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, rejoice in the Lord.
Spirit. Already? And we've come to this afternoon, well, that you have come expecting to witness the wedding. And I know you're not going to be disappointed. We dedicate this service to Glenn, Irma, and their family. Praise the Lord, and in commemoration, commendable of its family. And don't have a great time around here, and I thought that since we're going to hell after the activities are over, we're going to have fellowship over in Fellowship Hall there in the dining room, and you're invited to come. It's on the house, Brother Glenn, Norma. You're invited to stay, and we're going to have turkey, and I don't know what we're going to have, but it'll be good. And we'll have fellowship, of course. Glenn and Irma will probably greet their guests back at in that area somewhere after the wedding. And we'll just have a great time around here. Praise the Lord. I think it would be fitting if we would, it's kindly, we haven't rehearsed, but I've done several weddings without rehearsing. But they say, there's no saying that when you're in doubt as to what to do, just take an offering. So, and so I think I'll invoke that principle this evening and receive an offering for the Camp Brown in commemoration of these 50 years of marriage, Brother Glenn and Irma. And we'll just ask you to give as unto the Lord, and He'll bless you for it, I know. I'd have the ushers to come, if you will, and we'll just get this on the road and get it behind us here. And just give a beautiful offering for the campground. That pleased Glenn and Irma just about better than anything. Yeah, get them right here. Praise the Lord. If you will, just pray with me, and we'll pray over the offering, and then we'll just move among you. Our Heavenly Father, it's with great anticipation that we've come to this service this afternoon. Lord, we invite your presence, for you've certainly visited us with the Shekinah glory of your presence during this meeting, Lord. We pray that you'd bless all of these people that have come, Lord. We count it a great privilege and an honor to be even associated with such a great people that you have poured out such a great anointing upon and within, O Lord.
Yes,
Lord. People of integrity and holiness, O Lord. And again, it's a great honor just to be associated with them. We believe that we'll be blessed just by that association alone. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Now, we pray that you would bless those that give them this offering this evening, Lord. And if there are those that are not able to give, that you'd bless them and they'll be able the next time an offering is taken, O Lord. My God, we pray that the funds will be adequate, and we know that we'll turn it over to the priest of this location, and he'll spend it wisely upon the Lord's work. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We'll just move before you here with the offerings. Praise the Lord. And I'll offer a few scriptures here, and we'll just see what happens. Praise the Lord. I'll just go by unction. That's the best way to go, they tell me. I've found it to be true. I just go by unction. We'll offer a few verses of scripture. And I think we're going to, I don't know just what we always may do, but we'll just do this till we get to something else. It is commendable of Glenn and Irma that they would want to, after 50 years of successful marriage, they'd want to renew their vows to each other and before all of this company of people and before God. It is just to be, they are to be commended for it, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures here just for a few minutes then. Wedding ceremonies don't take long when you get right down to the nitty-gritty of it. And we want to be over, some way over in the afternoon here because we're going to be eating supper, being Glenn says. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. We begin in verse 20. And I'd just like to call our attention to a few verses here in connection with marriage. And it goes like this in the 20th verse of the second chapter. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. Now, there is a hint here that as Adam, with all of his intellectual ability, he began to name the little animals that came before him. They had not been named to this time, and whatever Adam called them, that would be the name that would stay with them forever. And they would, it not only would be a name to label them by name, but it would label them by nature too. And it was, their name would be given a nature and to go with the name. And Adam, I don't know how long he's been created and in the garden, but he's been there as the beginning of the human race. And he's the only human there is. In the whole world that we have any record of, and certainly he was the only human in the world, and he has this high intellect. As a matter of fact, the scientists tell us now that we use less than one-tenth of our potential of our intellect. I believe that before the fall, Adam used all of his. It was all accessible to him. And he was a very intelligent man. There are some scriptures, and I don't want to call them to our attention now, but I will just mention to you the fact, and if you'd like to ask me about it later, I'd be glad to point you to the scriptures. There are some scriptures that implies very strongly that when the manifestation, the unveiling, the translation, the change, when it comes, that we will be restored. That nine-tenths that is lost will be restored, and we'll be 10 times. Think about being 10 times as smart as you already are. Now, there are some scriptures that will strongly imply that, if you let me give them the application and how they'll strongly imply that. All right, so, and as Adam named the little animals, he noticed something here as they came before him. He noticed something that maybe he hadn't even noticed this before. But he noticed as they came before him, they came in pairs, two. And they seemed to be very content and very happy, and they were playful, and they were enjoying their relationship with each other. They came male and female in pairs, and as Adam began to meditate on this and think on it, he noticed, and the Bible said, but there was no help meet. He didn't have a mate. There was no mate for Adam. So it is likely that Adam made mention of this. And whether he made mention of it or not, there was a strong desire that radiated from Adam that he could have a mate like the lesser animal kingdom of the kingdom had. And so God just put him to sleep. And right here it says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. All right? Now, the woman was created out of the rib, from the rib of Adam. God made the woman and gave her to Adam, presented her to Adam. And Adam exclaimed, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And he calls her woman. Then he declares that for this cause, a man will leave his father and mother, and he will cleave to his wife. Now, I'd like for you Bible scholars, as I turn you to the 19th chapter of St. Matthew here, keep your finger here because you'll want to do some comparing here just for a moment. And in the 19th chapter and the 4th verse, and he answered and said unto them, Jesus is talking here. He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but are one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The point that I wanted to make is that if you read this carefully, Jesus said, ask them if they had not read this. And then he said, him that made them in the beginning made them male and female. Now, who made them? Everybody. God. All right. That's right. All right. And the 5th verse is conjunction and said. Who said? God said. Well, if you still got your finger over here in Genesis, Adam is accredited for saying, the credit goes to Adam for saying, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But in Matthew, Jesus said, it was the Father that said this. Well, it wouldn't matter a whole lot who said it, except to me, it kind of matters if there's going to be two statements and God's going to make one of them. I'll take God's statement. But since they're saying the same thing, I'm making a point here. Adam became the first prophet. Adam became the first prophet, and he speaks a word for God. So we have just proved here by the scriptures that Adam, when he says, this is bone of my bone, it is God speaking. Jesus said it was the Father that spoke it. and he spoke it through Adam. Aren't this then is what God is the price, the reward, and the price that God puts upon the marriage vows and upon the marriage union. And, all right, now, Adam says, God speaking through Adam says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave to his wife. All right, now, I'll take you over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, I believe. I think I want 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Yes. Now, all right, here we have this from verse 13, Paul says to Timothy here, under the inspiration of God, writing as the Spirit gives him utterance, we have established that Adam became the first prophet. Who was the first prophet? It was Adam. He became the first prophet, and a prophet speaks for God, doesn't he? And he spoke for God. All right? Now, this, and Paul says in verse 13 here, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for Adam was not formed, was first formed, then Eve. Adam was first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Well, what have we established here then? That Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. And what did Adam do? All right? He begins to fulfill his own prophetic projection. He goes, when his wife fell into the transgression, though Adam was aware that it was transgression, but he went into the transgression, he identified with his wife so that she could be restored or she could be saved. He becomes a type of the next Adam, the last Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. And the first Adam becomes a type of the last Adam here. For it is the bride, the wife of the groom that is in transgression. But the Son of God came from another world, from another realm. He was not deceived, but the human race has been deceived. And he come to claim his bride. And Adam, being a prophet, could foretell the knowledge of God. He had some degree of the knowledge of God. Remember that he's working from an intellect that is 10 times our intellect, perhaps. And with God anointing that and speaking through him, he could foreknow that she could be saved. God says, now Paul says, nevertheless, she could be saved by childbearing. But if Adam doesn't follow her into the fall, she ain't going to bear no children. She is never going to be saved, but he went into the fall with her. He identified with her deliberately, left his, what did he say this guy would do? He said he'll leave his father and mother. Well, what did Adam do? He left his father and his mother, and who was in the realm of holiness. You want to know who his father and mother was? It was God. Well, that's not too hard to understand. Adam was created in the image of God, and he stood only, if you've seen him, he stood only as one man. God was both. In God was both. Was all the mechanism of recreation. All the mechanism of reproduction was in God. And all the mechanism of reproduction was in Adam. God just separated the male from the female. Hallelujah. Amen. It had to make the separation so that there could be a reproduction and a replenishing of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, interesting, isn't it? How this all come about. So Adam follows Eve into the fall and brings her back. They come back out of the fall, and actually, now their conscience is awakened. Their intellect has been greatly damaged, but the conscience has been awakened, and they realize that they're not covered. So Adam makes a covering. Well, I tell you, the last Adam made us a covering, didn't he? Yeah. Hallelujah. He continues to make us a covering. Adam did what humanity does. He invoked human understanding and built a covering, but it was not sufficient. It was sufficient to cover them from one another, but when God came, this covering was not sufficient to cover them from in his presence. Man can contrive of many coverings that will satisfy him, but I don't think many that he puts together will satisfy the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Lord comes into the garden and makes, he disregards their covering, though it's commendable of them, but he disregards that. And because they tried to cover themselves, their conscience was awakened. They wanted to get back to God. And so he went and got them some skins from animals. Death, sin has entered in through Adam, and so now death can be invoked. Before that, he couldn't get any skins because death has not fallen on the earth. It cannot be invoked. It takes sin to bring forth death. And it'll take the eradication of sin to abolish death. And that's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. And if this generation rises to old age and passes away before we do it, I promise you that God will surely visit you again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he will do it. If this generation is not the generation that will walk into life, I believe it is this generation. And so God made him a covering and thus restored Adam and Eve. But to a partial restoration, that is, they won't be restored. The Adamic race won't be restored until the sons of God are manifested. And the whole, you know, who's looking for the, who's waiting for that? Who's yearning for that manifestation? The whole creation. And what is the whole creation? It is the whole human race is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There are many people waiting for many things. But in spite of whatever else you may think that you're waiting for, there is that spirit in you that reaches out to God that is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because with this manifestation, instead of the human race being partially restored, will come a total restoration of the sons of God. Hallelujah. It pleased God that through the Son, he would bring many, many sons to glory. And he is going to do it. I listened to the teaching sister gave this morning, but sons of God, she made mention that sons of God is not a foreign statement. It should be a familiar one. It's everywhere in the book. And so Adam left his father and mother, which was God, went into the fall and brought out his bride and was instrumental, essential, if you please, in having her a covering that would satisfy God. Hallelujah. And now, then comes the next Adam, the last Adam. And he comes, well, listen to Paul say, you know your blessings, how that he who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. You remember when in the old patriarchs, they were at a great length to go and bring a bride for. Now there's a bride in the earth, and it is a bride of the last Adam. It is the church. But all the church is not the bride. All the church is not the sons. But the sons are in the church, and the bride is in the church, and the attendants are in the church. Bridesmaids, oh, many. The 25th chapter of St. Matthew gives you a good picture of who is them foolish and who is wise? Well, I know who the foolish and who the wise is, but who is that guy that cries at midnight? Hallelujah. Who is that one that announces the coming of the bridegroom? Sons of God. Hallelujah. So they came to a wedding. The sons of God. Now, Jesus came, and he left his father and mother in the heavens or in another realm there, in the Father realm. And he came, he gave up all the riches of this universe and came and identified himself with total poverty. No place to lay his head. Just walk with God and to take out of the nation of Israel a bride. Well, of course, when I say he's taking the bride out of the nation of Israel, he's taking the bride out of the Israel of God. You don't have to be you don't have to follow blood lineage here. You just have to believe on him. Hallelujah. And if you believe in him, as many as are Christ, as many as belongs to Christ, they are the sons of God. I tell you, you can be blessed by just the association with this great company of people. Hallelujah. It was when Moses was leading the children of Israel into the promised land that he said to his brother-in-law, he was entreating him to go with him. And he wasn't an Israelite, but if he would act like one, well, he could be one. Yeah, with father-in-law, okay. He says to his father-in-law, God has promised good things. And if you'll go with us, whatever he does for us, he'll do for you. We'll share it with you. You'll be a recipient of part of the blessing if you'll just go with us. And that's what we say about Glenn and Herma this evening. The Lord has made great promises to them. And if you that are his family, their families, if you'll go with them, whatever the Lord does toward those promises, you'll be part of it. And you will be a recipient of it. You have a great heritage here. Oh, my sincere advice is to take advantage of it and to be blessed of the Lord because of your association, because of your kinship, because of the blessings of God, because God's blessing says. And so the Lord came and he cleaved to his wife, didn't he? It cost him a lot. It was rather expensive. He gave up the whole over the whole universe that he had created. The Bible said that all things were created by him. Without him, nothing was created that was created. And he gave it all up to that he might secure a bride. Hallelujah. And I proclaim to you today that bride is in the earth. Hallelujah. She's not quite made herself just ready, but she's in the earth. Hallelujah. Just as the blessed sons of God are. Oh, you know where the blessed sons of God are? Hallelujah. You know where that great seed, that holy seed is? It's in the heart, the mind of the sons of God and the bride of Christ. And where are we? We're in the sons of God. Somebody said, are you born again? And I say, yeah, because I know they're just wanting identification. But in the truest sense, I am in gestation. I'm in the womb of the bride of the church. I'm waiting to be brought forth into a birth. Hallelujah. Oh, well, we're going to a wedding. We're going to have a wedding here. We're going to another wedding. But says, when's the other? Oh, it's over in the next age, the next dispensation. Well, how's the sons of God going to be brought forth? Well, before Joseph was, had come together with Mary, the virgin, she brought forth the son. And then after she brought forth the son, then there was the wedding, the consummation of the wedding. Is that true? It's true, isn't it? All right, then if we're going to follow the pattern, what has to what happens here? The sons are born, the bride brings forth the son company right out of the church before the wedding. Then after the sons of God have been manifested, hallelujah, oh, blessed Lord, what a great future we have. What a great potential. I don't know, we don't know what part we'll play over there, but somehow or another, it seems to me like I'd like to be in that group that when that wedding takes place, that marches out to the gates of the city. And you know, hear me spiritually, for I'm not talking about a natural city over there with gates of pearl and whatever they may be made of. I'm talking about this spiritual city, the New Jerusalem. I'd like to be one of those that marches out and opens the gates for the last time. Hallelujah. there's going to be a last time to open the gates to that city. And when we open them that time, they'll never be shut again. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that all that will call upon the name of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. What a great future. Well, maybe we'll just wait around the banquet table. But I don't know. But somebody's going to open the gates. Hallelujah. And it's going to be a permanent opening. Hallelujah. You know, it was when Jesus was crucified and the thieves, between two thieves, he was crucified. And they one of them rallied against Jesus, but the other one scolded him and said, "Hey, you and I, we deserve to be here. As a matter of fact, we're long overdue. But this righteous man has done nothing amiss." And then, in total repentance, he cried out to the master and said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said to him, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, I don't know what you think that Jesus said to him. You know what he said. He said, "This day you'll be..." But do you know what he meant? I do not believe that it is confined to a statement that Jesus said, "Today you and I are going to be together in some place called paradise." If it means that, that is one meaning. But what Jesus was, he went after the greater meaning. And the greater meaning was that when God put Adam, because of his sin, out of the Garden of Eden, then he there was a tree of life of which Adam had never eaten. He never had tasted the tree of life. The Adam race had never tasted the tree of life. But it was there, and it was available for him. He just simply didn't eat of it. He ate of the other tree first. And then he was barred from this tree. And when God put him out of the garden, he put a guard on the gate that guarded the tree of life. The seraphims, the angels, they must stand alert over the gate, lest man in his unconverted senses gets back into the garden and back to the tree of life and eats of the tree of life in an unconverted stage and remains a sinner forever. And so Jesus is that tree of life. And the tree of life is, where's the tree of life? In the paradise of God. So Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Today, paradise will be made, the tree of life will be made as soon as I don't breathe air anymore. As soon as I deliver up my spirit to God, the guards that have guarded the way to the tree of life will be released, dismissed. And no longer will the access to the tree of life be forbidden. But all, when I die," hallelujah, "and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And he says, when I give up the ghost, the guards will be removed from the guards away to the tree of life, and every man, every person in the whole universe that has a desire to can have access to the tree of life. And Jesus could stand after his resurrection and say, come, come. All things have been made ready. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's so much in this book. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. And then he says, the next statement is, but you won't come to me. You just come to me in the scriptures, but you won't come to my person. You don't come to my life. You just like to read the philosophy that revolves around my life. Jesus didn't have any trouble with the nation of Israel. He didn't even have any trouble with the Pharisees, as long as he was just a page in this book. As long as he was just black print on white paper, they gloried in him and felt proud of their Messiah. But one day he stepped out of this book as big as life, and the Word was made flesh and come to dwell with men. And when he stepped out of the book and was no longer just a philosophy, just an idea, just a mental attitude that you could have toward him, I tell you, they had trouble with him. Hallelujah. Yeah, him of whom they had been so proud. Now they wanted to get rid of him. As long as you face up to this scripture as a philosophy, you'll read it and say, boy, how beautiful that is. But when you began to, you remember the angel that had the scroll and showed it to John and said, come and eat, John. And in your mouth it'll be sweet as honey. In your belly it'll be as bitter as wormwood. And John said he took it and ate it, and sure enough, in his mouth it was sweet like honey. But then he swallowed it and got it down into his stomach, and he said it was bitter as wormwood. You know what that means? It means that as long as he just had it in his mouth, it was just a philosophy. Just a principle. Just a mentality. But when he eat it, that means that you begin to do it. So you read where he's given his commandments, and boy, that's beautiful, isn't it? That it's in your mouth. It's sweet as honey. But when you eat it and begin to do it, you begin to do it and to live by it and come under the restrictions that it brings upon you, it gets bitter like wormwood. It's, hallelujah, it's easier said than it is done, isn't it? Yeah, because we can face it as a philosophy and it'll sound good to us. It's great to us. Praise the Lord. Well, thank the Lord. May the Lord of glory bless you this evening. I think we're going to get along with the wedding.
That's true, always. things you plan need a helping hand. I will understand always, always. Days may not be fair always. That's when I'll be there. Just for an hour, not just for a day, not just for a year, but always. Not just for an hour, not just for a day, not just for a year, but always.
May be seated. Some time ago, Glenn and Irma made known to us that they would like to renew their marriage vows. And since they had had 50 years of happy marriage and successful union here, and they knew it would be a happy experience for them, and they wanted to gather their family together and their friends and let us share in their joy to commemorate this great and successful union. And we thought that was commendable of them, and for that cause we have come to this part of the day. And marriage is the oldest institution known to man. It is the first institution instigated by God himself in the Garden of Eden, long before the enemy had entered in and sin had entered into the garden. The tranquility and the peace and the joy of the garden had been disturbed. God instituted this marriage. This institution, it is an honorable institution. It is a central stronghold of all civilizations, all nations, and all civilizations. It is a central stronghold and must so remain until the end of time. Jesus sanctioned this institution and ceremony by his presence at Cana. And had the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Jesus was present, and there he began his miraculous ministry by publicly creating and manifesting his first great miracle when he turned the wine of joy, of the water, into wine of joy. The Apostle Paul, it is evident that he was a bachelor, but he said of this institution that it's honorable among all men. And the Apostle Peter, the great leader of the early church, said he was a married man, and he took a wife and launched one of the greatest ministries that the world has ever seen. And because this is such an honorable institution, such an honorable union, the enemy, of course, has made great strides of warfare against it and has tried to tear down the sanctity of this wonderful union. But there are those of us that will not relent to the enemy, and they're Glenn and Irma's standing here, witness to 50 years of successful marriage, and a son standing here bringing his mother down. And I tell you, you are a blessed people. I speak to the family of Glenn and Irma and tell you that you are blessed. And that you are an heir to the blessings of God through Glenn and Irma, their dedication to God. And as they are some of the most dedicated people that I have known in all of my pilgrimage. And while You would do well to flee to the refuge of safety in God, as Glenn and Irma has, and it'd make them very happy, and you'd be happy too. And you would be in a state of security. Do not do as Adam and Eve was going to be satisfied to do, to just find a covering that pleases you, but rather you need to seek the will of God until you find your covering that pleases God. Now, with all of these things in mind, I ask, who brings this woman to be married to this man? All right, Glenn, would you join right hands, please? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glenn, in retrospect, do you believe that it was the will of God that 50 years ago that you and Irma should become husband and wife and share your lives together? And do you believe that it is the will of God and is it sincere desire of your heart that now you and Irma shall renew your vows and become husband and wife all over and share the rest of your lives together?
I do.
Irma, in retrospect again, do you believe that 50 years ago it was the will of God for you and Glenn to come together in this happy union, become husband and wife, and share your lives together?
I do.
And do you believe now that it is the will of God that you and Glenn, in love for one another and dedication to each other and dedication to the Lord, that you should come together, renew your vows, and is it the sincere desire of your heart that you all shall spend the rest of your lives together? Praise the Lord. I thought it would be. Hallelujah. I'm asking you easy questions now. Thank the Lord. All right. Glenn, will you repeat after me? I, Glenn.
Take the Irma.
To be my wedded wife. To have and to hold. From this day forward. For better or worse.
Richer or poor.
In sickness or in health. To love, honor, and cherish.
According to God's holy will.
As long as we both shall live. Oh, praise the Lord. If I get a little emotional here, don't get disturbed. I tell you, I love this couple that's standing before me, and I just see by the Spirit some things by the Spirit just now. And what a dedication. Irma, repeat after me. I, Irma, take thee, Glenn.
To be my wedded husband. To have, hold.
From this day forward.
For better or worse.
For richer or poor.
In sickness or in health.
To love, honor, and cherish.
According to God's holy law.
As long as we both shall live. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is with great joy that we hear these vows that Irma and Glenn is making to each other. And as they renew their vows and be a witness to 50 years of happiness, 50 years of sharing one with the other, 50 years since the twain became one, 50 years with this union of oneness, it just overwhelms our spirit, O Lord, to see this kind of dedication, this kind of love. And now, Heavenly Father, I pray that as you have blessed them in the past, you will bless them even more in the future. I pray that their lives from this time will be long and fruitful. Yea, Lord, I'm praying that you would bless them with a fair share of material blessings and with an abundant share of spiritual blessings, O Lord. I pray, O Lord, that you would give them wisdom as they execute the duties of the of this that they have just now taken on themselves, O Lord, in this renewal of the vows. I pray that you would give them wisdom to seek your grace for the wisdom and knowledge, power and understanding that it will take to conclude or to go to the end of whichever way this may bring them, O Lord. I pray that the blessings of the Lord will be rich with them, and their love will not diminish. As it has grown stronger over a half century, Lord, I pray that it will grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and never shall diminish. And what God has put together, joined together, it is evident to us that you have made this union, Heavenly Father. We will not permit man to tear asunder. Now I pray, Heavenly Father, for the posterity that has come from this unity. You have promised that you'd bless us and our children and our children's children. And Heavenly Father, we have dedicated our lives. Now Glenn and Irma has given their lives to the work of the Lord and to their families. And they could never be content if they thought that for a moment that it would be allowed that one of their posterity would be lost after such great privileges and great opportunities, Heavenly Father, now. Oh, we pray your blessings upon this union from now until then. And I have a word directly from the Lord for you. I'll just give it to you at this time. The Lord says to you, it's a good thing, yea, that you would come and renew your vows, yea, and re-speak your love and your dedication one to another. And with this new dedication comes also a new dedication to the Lord of glory. Yea, for thou hast worked faithfully in the vineyard, yea, in the work of the Lord. Yea, thou hast been placed in the place of authority, and you have executed it well. Yea, you have executed it in a way that pleases the Lord. Therefore, the blessings of the Lord are upon you. And know that the blessings of the Lord always maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. Now, there has been sorrow, but sorrow is fleeing away. Hear me, saith the Lord, the sorrow is beginning to flee away. Yea, and that you have only held dear by faith in visionary form, yea, I'm going to show you the substance, saith the Lord. Yea, you shall not pass from the scene until the Lord has made you happy, until the Lord has made you to be pleased by the accomplishments of the Lord. Yea, I tell you now, my son, my daughter, that thou hast never given up hope. I see the strong desire that is in your heart. Yea, I've heard the prayers and the calls unto me. Yea, you cannot cry unto me in such a faint voice that I won't hear, saith the Lord, thou God. And I know the desire of your heart, and I'm moving. I'm moving in that direction even now. I'm directing good things toward you. Yea, I know that I can turn the heart of kings, yea, the heart of national leaders. Yea, I can turn the hearts of those that would contrary your happiness. Yea, and I can bring around. Yea, I can reverse a situation that you without me could do nothing about. I tell you now that I'm bringing to pass the desire of your heart. Yea, you shall soon see the effect, saith the Lord thou God, for I have promised to bless you, your children, and your children's children. And that is three generations, and I say now, even the fourth generation, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, even if they try to outrun the Lord, and if they try to kick against the bricks, I tell you that I'm going to stir their hearts, yea. And I'm going to stir them up. I'm going to reach out. And soon they will begin to reach out. And they will begin to reach up. It is their heritage. Yea, it is your promise. Yeah. Yes, for the blessings of the Lord rest on you. I tell you now that if your posterity tries to be like the world, they won't find happiness. Yeah? I tell you now that they'll have to find happiness in me. The only peace there is in this universe is in and under the Prince of Peace, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, and blessed shall you be. Yea, I tell you that I'm going to I'm going to bless all the hard labors of your hand. Yea, and I'm going to strengthen you by the power of my might. And as your days are, so shall your strength be, saith the Lord. Yea, that thou shalt work in the work of the Lord. Yea, thou shalt do it as you have done it before, tireless. Yea, you shall find an energy that you didn't know you possessed. For as a matter of fact, you didn't possess it, but I, the Lord, thou God, possess it, and I am mustering it out to you, saith the Lord. I'm issuing it out to you. Yea, line upon line, a little here and a little there, and with great strength and with great joy shall you stand before my presence and say, Lord, I knew you'd do it for us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the lovely Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, now in view of the vows that you have vowed to each other before me and all of these witnesses and before him who is on the throne, according to the authority bestowed on me by the highest authority in the universe, as a minister of the gospel, I pronounce that you're a husband and wife. And Glenn, you can kiss the bride. May I be the first to congratulate you, and God bless you real good. It's Glenn and Irma Miller. Praise the Lord.
Mother, Robert, now all the rest of you come up here too.
Praise the Lord. All the blessings of the Lord enshroud you now. In Jesus' name, my Lord and our God, may one common blessing from the Lord be upon you.
Why don't y'all join together and I'll just stand behind here and look over your shoulder.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, y'all move in close and make physical contact here all the way. Praise the Lord. I feel that the Lord is hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Like an electrical current. Hallelujah. Amen. The same anointing that's on Glenn rests on the whole family.
I want to say that Mother will be 90 the 14th. She'll be 90. She's been a world traveler, running around the country. She was in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. And last year she went to Europe. And the year before she went to the Philippines. I'm trying to keep up with her. So goes all the rest of them. Yeah, she's been all over the... almost around the world, I think. We appreciate all of our friends across the nation. And we will come and bless you.
Praise the Lord.
You got something else?
No. Praise the Lord. Hey, how you doing here? My goodness. Thank the Lord. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. Good to see you. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Thank you.
We consider it a great honor to have heard from so many of our friends across the nation and to have so many of you present. And to have Jack Harris, America's most decorated soldier of World War II, to officiate for us today. To our many friends, we send our greetings and love and God's blessings upon you and yours. May the Lord bless you and keep you till we meet in the land beyond the sea where Jesus reigns eternally. Amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? That's because of what I see.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.